Welcome to the Female Photographer Podcast. I'm your host, Maria Eves, and I started this podcast to help uplift and inspire female photographers just like you with a weekly chat to share insights about photography from other women who just get you. Hello, and welcome. If you're new here, my name is Maria. I am an ex-Air Force photographer, and many people, when I tell them that I was an Air Force photographer, they wonder exactly what that means. So I actually, in New Zealand, Air Force photographers photograph for the Air Force, Navy, and Army. And I guess the Air Force, the role of an Air Force photographer used to be a lot of different things. When I first started, it was anything from taking photos of cracks or damage to aircraft for like warranty claims, or just to record damage, to medals presentations, to VIP visits, like if royalty visited or the Prime Minister visited, we'd take photos of that, to service portraits, so just portraits of people in their uniform, which were taken in a very specific way with the New Zealand flag in the background. To public relations, hometowners, to go into local newspapers, which is pretty much just a photo of someone in the military doing their job, and then there'd be a story written up about them to go in their local hometown paper. So those are the things I can think of off the top of my head, but it was really varied. Like, I pretty much needed to know how to do a lot of different types of photography. So since I left, I've kind of been trying to narrow down what I'm going to do specifically, because I'm used to doing so many different types of photography. And initially I wanted to just focus on doing landscape photography because that is what I love, but I've actually fallen into doing a few other types of photography as well, which is fun. And I do like the variety because I can't always go out and shoot landscapes. But today I wanted to talk a little bit about why you don't need an expensive camera or to buy lots of new equipment, because I am also guilty of this. But a lot of people are in the mindset of, oh, when I buy a new camera, or when I buy a new lens, or when I buy the flash that I want, or these filters, then I can take better photos. And I guess we often look at professional photographers that we admire, and we look at all the gear they have, and we're kind of like, well, of course they're good. Look at all the gear that they have. They have all these lenses, they have this expensive camera, they might have multiple cameras, and they have a budget to travel, and, like, you know, lots of brand deals. Yeah, it kind of makes you think, oh, I need that stuff too to be any good. But if you look at those photographers that are your idols, that you look up to, or, you know, those people that give you inspiration, then if you actually look back at their story and how they started, a lot of them started with a really cheap camera with one lens, or they even started with a phone. And they didn't start with all that expensive stuff in the very beginning, and they were still, you know, either they worked their way up to buying that expensive gear, or they were taking really amazing photos with the simple gear that they started out with. And it's probably a combination of both. And I've got a really good example of this, of how you don't need an expensive camera to take an amazing photo. So I often enter my landscape photography into the IRIS Awards, which is quite a well-known New Zealand photographic competition. And every year now I go there and watch the judging and look at all the photos that have been entered, and some of them are like, they're just so amazing. Especially, I don't know, just the thought that goes into some of them in the printing and the presentation and the photo itself, like the whole, all of that, that combination of things brought together, can just produce some amazing, really creative photos. And a couple of years ago when I went, I was looking at the portrait category actually, and there was this stunning photo of a crab on this really interesting sparkly paper. But the way that the crab had been captured was just really beautiful and quite clever, really, I thought. So I guess I still actually haven't asked how it was done, but the crab looked like maybe it had been dropped into a fish tank, like, or a bowl of water or something, and it was, because it was just like suspended, and it did have some kind of maybe like particles of sand floating around it. They weren't super obvious at all, but when you looked close you could see that, so that's kind of how I could tell that it had been maybe dropped into some water, and just the way that its legs were kind of floating up a little bit. And this was an image by Sarah McGregor, and it actually won a gold award, which I wasn't surprised about, because just, I don't know, the way that it had been captured was just amazing. And it just had this, it was in black and white, it had a black background, and the crab looked, you know, black and white, but mostly looked white. And with, especially with that sparkly paper, it just stood out. And after I had been looking at that photo for a while and talked to other people about it, I found out that she's a professional photographer, but she had taken this photo on her phone. And I guess that was kind of shocking to me, like in a good way, because I didn't used to think of, you know, professional photographers using phones for their, you know, award-winning photos, or I never kind of thought you could take an amazing photo like that on a phone. So that kind of changed my perspective on a lot of things, and made me think, you know, it's not what necessarily what gear you use, but it's more about your vision and getting creative with what you're shooting, you know, using your creative mind, your creativity to come up with something new and exciting and different, and not just following along with the same old trends that we've been seeing, but coming up with something different that makes people think. And I think this photo in particular of the crab made me think, because it just, you stare at it and it's like, I hadn't seen anything like that before. I mean, it wasn't a particularly interesting subject. Like, we've all seen a crab before, right? But it was the way she shot it and she thought about it, right down to the paper that she used to print it on. And I know we're not always going to have that opportunity to present our photos on paper, because a lot of people are viewing them digitally these days, especially, you know, people scrolling through Instagram and stuff. That's probably the main way people see a lot of our photos. But she had this vision of presenting it in black and white, dropping this crab in the water. And it just makes you think, it makes you stare at the photo for ages thinking, okay, how did she do this? And is it in the water? You start looking for clues, like the little bits of sand, like, okay, she's dropped it into the water. But then the black and white gets you thinking too, like the black background with the white contrast of the white crab and with its legs floating up, like a little bit. It just gets, it's makes you stop and it makes you think. And I think that is a big part of what makes an amazing photo. It's, you know, people say, they talk about scroll stopping content. And I think that's what a scroll stopping photo is all about. It's about the vision primarily, not necessarily what gear you use. And lately I've been kind of thinking about how I can make more content like that, that is thought-provoking, that it makes people think, you know, and it stops the scroll, it catches people's attention, and it kind of wows them. Another photographer whose work I'm really intrigued by is Richard Wood. His stuff really stands out. It is really creative, and it really makes you stop and stare. He often has quite a story within his images, and quite often a lot of different pieces in the image. And they're all just photographed beautifully. He's another photographer that not necessarily, like, he probably has all the gear. I don't actually know what he shoots on or what he uses, but I'm sure he has all the gear. So I'm not saying he only shoots on a phone, but I'm just saying that his work is thought-provoking, creative, original, and it makes you think. So back to what I was saying about, I've been trying to think about how I can come up with some original, thought-provoking, creative content or photography. And I come back to a keynote speech, I guess you would call it, that Janine Fletcher did. Now, Janine is a well-known New Zealand landscape photographer. She has won a lot of awards for her work, and she has her own fine art photography gallery in the South Island of New Zealand. And when I heard her speak, she said that she writes down all the creative thoughts that she has, and they often come to her in those moments between being awake and being asleep. And that one resource that has helped her to be more creative and come up with original and creative ideas is Julia Cameron's book, The Artist's Way. So I started reading this book, and I haven't got through the book yet because I haven't been implementing everything like I should, and I don't want to skip ahead of myself and read the whole book without implementing it all. And there's actually a workbook that you can also access, which I am thinking I am going to do now, just to approach things a different way and become more creative, because I feel like a lot of my landscape photography anyway, it looks a lot like some of the other photographers out there. I mean, it's, other than some of the places that I shoot, having been places that many other people go to, it's not super original, and I haven't developed a style yet, which we'll get into in another podcast episode. But I'm really trying to develop my signature style, but that is another topic. Anyway, I am going to start going through The Artist's Way and just seeing what a difference that makes to my photography, my creativity, and all of that. So to give you an idea of what the book talks about, she gives you a lot of different exercises you can do to help spark your creativity, I guess. And in the beginning, she gets you to do morning pages every day. So the first thing you do when you wake up in the morning is write a journal, pretty much, and just get everything out of your mind. And the other thing in the beginning of the book that she suggests you do is have an artist date, at least once a week, which could be anything, I suppose, but it's just doing something outside of the ordinary. She suggests like going to the shops and buying some little creative things that you could get creative with. I haven't had that much success with doing that, but I'm trying to think of like other little creative things I could do to spark my creativity, or just, you know, think outside of the box. So that's where I'm at with that. And I do have to go back, and I think I'm going to get the workbook, and I'm going to go through the workbook. But I mean, there are a lot of ways that you can spark creativity. And I guess everyone has their own process. I mean, a lot of photographers will get inspiration from other photographers and then kind of, you know, try something that they've seen and then make it their own, like put a twist on it, do something slightly different to make it their own. And then there's other photographers out there who don't want to look at any other work that might influence them, because they want to create inspiration organically and not be accidentally, I guess, copying other photographers out there. So I guess you have to look at other photographers and how they access their creativity, and yeah, decide for you what sparks your creativity and how you can do things differently to create beautiful, eye-catching, interesting photos. And in my opinion, I think it's not by using expensive camera gear. That is my opinion. You are welcome to your own opinion. And yes, expensive or new, doesn't have to be expensive, but you know, just buying new lenses and filters and things can help you get creative in different ways and make your photography look different, but it's not the only way. And I mean, if you are strapped for cash, or you know, you have been going out buying more lenses, more filters, and you think it's not been making a difference to your photography, it's not been making it any better, then maybe you just need to go back to your vision and creating a vision that is unique, interesting, creative, and just tapping into that creative side of your mind. Because I don't know if you're like me, but I feel like I was so creative when I was a kid, and I'd come up with all these ideas. And as you get older, it's harder to access that creativity. Like, your mind doesn't just automatically dream up all these wonderful, imaginative, creative ideas. You got other priorities, right? Like, my brain is filled with like, am I going to be late to pick up the kids today? Like, that is literally what is on my mind right now. And what are my goals for the year or the month to bring in some income? Or we're running out of groceries and I need to go and buy some groceries, or I need to get the recycling out tomorrow. I don't know. Really exciting things in my brain, obviously. But you know what I mean. As you get older, you get more responsibilities, there's a lot more on your mind, and you lose access to, well, not lose access, but you lose a little bit of that creativity that came naturally as a child. So I think we need to start finding more ways to amplify those creative ideas. And yeah, that's something I'm going to experiment with. And maybe I'll do a podcast on that if you are interested in the future. After I've kind of started tapping into my creativity more, trying the artist's way, maybe trying some more meditation, the morning pages that are in the artist's way. And if you have anything that works for you, please let me know what brings out your creative spark, because there are just so many different ways, I think, that you can access it. A really helpful thing that I have discovered over the last year or two is, okay, so I try to get out running every second day when I don't have any kids at home. And let's be honest, I hate running. I really struggle to get out of the house because I hate running so much. But I know I need to exercise, and that is kind of the easiest thing to do. Like, I love swimming, but I could swim here, like, because we have the beach right here, but we can only swim at high tide here, so I would have to plan that out. I can't just go swimming whenever, because when it's low tide here, it's just beach or mud flats, actually, for a lot of it, for like a kilometer or two. And I don't know, it's just, for me, it's like 30 minutes to drive to the pool. I could go cycling, but I actually don't really have a good bike for that anymore. And I don't really want to, like, I'm scared of cars and getting hit on the road. Every other day I do yoga in the evenings when the kids have gone to bed. But getting back to running, when I went running, my incentive usually was like, if I go running, I get to listen to my favorite podcast, and that is some me time to go running and listen to my podcast, and I can't wait to catch up on all my podcasts. And that was great, but I was like, I'm learning so much on these podcasts, but I'm not remembering any of it because, like, I'm running and I can't, like, take a moment to, like, write it down. I mean, I could, sometimes I didn't, like, write down little notes on my phone, but it was quite disruptive to my run to be, like, stopping and taking a note on my phone. So then I thought, you know what, I'm going to experiment with running without any devices. I don't actually know what sparked that idea. But as soon as I did, I just had all these ideas flowing into my head. And then the incentive for running stopped being, I'll get to listen to my podcast. Well, all the podcasts that I love that I wanted to catch up on. And my incentive started being, if I go for a run, then I'm going to get clarity. I'm going to get all these ideas come into my head. And sometimes it's just about processing stuff that's been on my mind. Like, I actually have time to process it, and reasonable ideas come into my head rather than those crazy ideas that come into your head in the middle of the night when you are just like, I know, everything seems 10 times worse than it is in reality. But yeah, I'm not necessarily having ideas about what I'm going to shoot. I'm having ideas about how I can build a community of female photographers and what value I can provide to you, and yeah, how I can help you. Those are the kind of ideas I'm having at the moment because that's the space I'm in. But I think if you want specific ideas to come up, like maybe for creating new and exciting photos, then you just set an intention before you go for your run. And like that's kind of what I do when, before I go for a run. I kind of have something on my mind that I want to process. Or I kind of think, okay, I want to think of like some ideas for this thing that I want to tackle. And usually by the time I get back from my run, then I have solutions to those ideas and I'll write them down like immediately as soon as I get back in the door. But I think that is a great way to get creative ideas for photography is to go for a run, with the intention of how could I shoot this? How could I shoot a more interesting landscape, or how could I shoot a portrait more creatively? And yeah, see what comes to you. I guess another idea is just to get out into nature. Just go for a walk, go for a walk on the beach, go for a walk in the bush, even just go for a walk around town. And I feel like just your environment can inspire you sometimes, and I guess the different places that you walk will give you different inspiration. And then you're not just mindlessly scrolling Instagram looking for inspiration where you end up just copying someone. Sometimes, like, unintentionally, we don't go out there to copy people, right? But sometimes also when you're just mindlessly scrolling Instagram looking for inspiration, you just get totally sidetracked and just waste a whole lot of time doing something else. So it's another good reason why you shouldn't go on Instagram for inspiration. I mean, I'm not saying you shouldn't go on there for inspiration because I totally do, and I go on there and I'm just blown away by some of the work that people are doing. But at the end of the day, I want to come up with my own creative ideas. So I guess that's all I have to say on that topic. But yes, I hope you like this episode. And as I said, give me feedback. Like any constructive criticism is welcomed. Or let me know if you loved it. And I can't wait to bring you some more episodes of the Female Photographer podcast. So tune in for next week when we'll be talking about something else exciting. Thanks again for listening, and as I said, I will see you next week.